Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Canici, and welcome to another edition of Valley Sports Rewind. And we're going to start the new year off with a bang. I am delighted to have on former Derby baseball and football great Ben Bartone. And Ben, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's an absolute honor.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me.
Now, Ben, let me ask you, let's start with baseball. When did the love develop for baseball? How old would you say you were?
It started really early, from days of watching the Yankees on TV as being a kid, and always being in the yard and just playing on the street with the kids. My mother would always tell me that on days that it rained, I would cry at the window because I couldn't go outside and play baseball. I was always throwing things, throwing rocks. We had a brook down the back of our house, so it was just always in me. Early, I would almost say like 7, 8 years old.
Now, let me ask you, the Bartones, there's been generations of them to come out of Derby. A lot of them have been very good at football. Was baseball like a big thing in the Bartone family when you were growing up, or was it more football?
It was definitely, I want to say 100% football. The entire family, I was pretty much the only one that got the baseball thing started. It was just a sport that I loved. I just picked it up and just went with it.
Right. And how old would you say you first started playing in like a league?
I want to say a minor league in Derby. I believe I was like 9 or 10 years old.
Right. And when would you say you started to realize that you wanted to be a pitcher? Did a coach just say, try pitching and see what happens? Or
yeah, it started at the minor league level. I was played on the team, and the coach, can't recall who the coach was. I do remember one umpire that I have a picture of was Stephen Burns, Derby guy that was an umpire. Yeah. But yeah, it started at that age, right through all the way up to college.
Right. And you know, in Little League, I can remember you and Eric Willania, you were the two big guns in Little League. You two both threw very hard.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I believe guys like Roger Clemens, Doc Gooden, and Nolan Ryan was still going strong. They were throwing heat. Did you mm-hmm. have anybody you kind of idolized as a pitcher when you were a kid?
Not really. I was a huge Yankee fan, so it was basically all the guys in the Yankees. If I can remember back then, I believe like a Dave Righetti, and also saw clips of Ron Guidry,
right.
Was also a great pitcher at that time. So never really one particular person, just followed it pretty much.
Right. Now, would you enjoy more at the time as a kid, hitting or pitching?
I enjoyed the pitching. I enjoyed being on the mound and just being in control.
Right.
You know, having that, you know, the game pretty much revolved around myself and the catcher. And just always wanted to, you know, strike everybody out, just throw it right by him.
Right. And, you know, those teams, the Blue Jays and the A's, they had some good matchups your last year in Little League. I think you guys beat them in the championship game, you know, but it was a 2 out of 3 contest. And I think it mm-hmm. went, if I'm not mistaken, to 3 games. I could be wrong, but it was really classic. They had some good players as well, you know, mm-hmm. Jimmy Gregorio, George Hay, I think Dave Van Roman, and then you guys had Pete Krasinowski, Mike Massey, I think
yep.
Mike Rapp, a couple other guys. So,
yep.
I mean, a real good matchup between those two.
Yeah, it was really good. From what I can recall, Mike, it was really good. I mean, the competition was there. I mean, don't forget, these are all kids that you're friends with. So, and a lot of them, we moved along through high school together, too.
Right. Now, let me ask you, did you start playing football right away as a kid, or did you wait a little bit?
No, I did. I played the first year in Pop Warner. Back then it was just the peewees. I believe I was 10 years old. So when I was able to play,
right.
I played that first year.
And did you play for Carmen DeCenzo or Buster Jaddick?
One coach I do recall was Nick Rizzio was my coach.
Nick Rizzio, right. Yeah.
I don't recall too many others, but Pop Warner was tough for me.
Right.
We weren't that good. Like I said, I played quarterback and I would get sacked at least 7 times a game. And it was tough at first, but you know, I just stuck it out, and, you know, when you got your father there saying, you know, stick it out and just play hard, you know.
Right.
So I stuck it out.
You know, a lot of people have asked over the years when they've played quarterback, a lot of them have said, well, you know, I didn't really like it a lot because there's a lot of pressure. You know, you don't get to tackle people, and you basically are responsible for a lot of things.
Hmm.
As much as you were good at quarterback, did you enjoy playing it, or was it, you know, rough for you?
Like I said, I didn't enjoy it in Pop Warner. Probably I would say maybe up to my midget year in Pop Warner, it got a little better. But then when I became a freshman, I really enjoyed it. It's another one of those positions where you're kind of in control. You know, you run the show and I enjoyed that.
Right. And, you know, one of the sports that kind of gets unrecognized for you is basketball. You were a very good basketball player. Mm-hmm. You're a good three-point shooter. Did you play basketball? I'm pretty sure you played with, like, Rich Lord, Ricky yep. Stevens, yep. and those guys as kids.
Same thing at that. My parents got me in sports as soon as I could. Started out in Biddy. We had a lot of fun playing in Biddy. A lot of our games were at Irving School.
Right.
Yeah, and it was that was kind of the battle back then. It was me against Rich Lord, kind of.
Right.
He was on the other team, and we would always go at it. It was great competition. We were friends, and it was just fun.
Right. Now, let me ask you, going to football games every Friday night or Saturday morning, I mean, was the love for football there, like, would you say when you were, like, in sixth, seventh grade, you were, mm-hmm. you know, really itching to get out on that field and play varsity?
Yeah, absolutely. I would go because my Uncle Ron played for Derby. I want to say, he was All-State. And I want to say it was the early 80s. I was about 8, 9 years old. So I started going to the games then. I would go to every game, you know, with my family. So I just got a kind of idea what Derby was all about, and I just wanted to be that. You know, in particular, I always remember, I think it was the 88 game, I want to say, Derby Shelton, Thanksgiving.
No, you're right.
It's a funny story because I always remember this for some reason. Before the game, there was a bunch of us behind the clubhouse playing, like, tackle football. And I never forget, everybody stopped because we heard, like, this clicking noise on the ground, like the cleats hit in the ground. And we right. looked over and we saw these humongous Shelton players walking out of the visitor locker room because we were right there. And I never forget that day. They were all walking out. And then I remember just Derby just kicking the crap out of them that day. It was great.
Right, yeah. And I believe you were in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, yeah.
Right, yeah. And that was the first time I think Derby beat them in a few years.
Yeah.
I think it was Coach DeCenzo's first win against Shelton. And Shelton was favored, and Derby was ahead, I think, 26-0.
Yeah, that was Patton. He was unbelievable that game.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was very big in Derby as well as Ansonia. Mm-hmm. Compare Babe Ruth to Little League. What was different for you?
It was just a different game. I mean, it was a little faster. There was a lot more things involved, like the entire game itself as far as you know, pickoffs and stealing and all that stuff. There wasn't that much of that in Little League. It was actually, you know, another step up. You know, you had to adjust, but it was fun. We combined with, I believe, Ansonia.
Right.
For a little while, and a lot of our games were at over at the Nature Center in Ansonia we played.
Right. I believe you were on the Braves, correct?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And Tony Linetti, who believe was one of my coaches then who passed. He was a good guy, teacher, coach.
Right. Now, was it an adjustment for you? Because the mound was moved back at this point from Little League. I mean, was the first year rough for you, or would you say you did your first year?
I think I did well. I think I just adjusted because I always threw hard, so it wasn't that much of an adjustment for me. I think I did well.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, you were probably playing for the middle school team at the time.
Yes. I think I just mixed that up. I think that's who my coach was for middle school, Tony Lionetti.
Tony Lionetti. Yeah. Right. And I believe Lou Cesaroni would get involved eventually.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, those were some good teams too, those middle school teams.
Yeah. We played all our games. We played at Bradley School, I remember, with the dirt infield because they used it for softball.
Right.
So, we played all our games there.
And now, did you know Donnie Shepherd by that point yet, or did it take a while for you to get?
I knew Don. Yes, I knew. We started in, I believe, seventh grade, the upper school. I'm sorry, Don. No, Don was freshman year.
Oh, freshman.
Yeah,
year.
I don't recall him going to the upper school. I think because he lived in Shelton.
Right.
And then he moved here.
Oh, okay.
So I think it started freshman year.
Right. So you two really hadn't known each other yet. Right. Now, you're in seventh grade and I would imagine you're on the junior midgets or the midgets mm-hmm. by that point. Mm-hmm. Were you throwing a lot more by then? I mean, were they letting you throw the ball a little more? Because I know when you play peewees and stuff, they don't really throw the ball a lot.
It started a little bit. Like football back then was a lot different. It was more of a run game.
Right.
So I would get some, you know, chances here and there to throw the ball. There would be a couple plays, like not many plays, but two or three plays. But like I said, it was mostly all runs.
And were you playing defense at that point, too?
Yeah, I was playing a little bit of linebacker and then a little bit of in the defensive backfield.
Right. And did you enjoy playing defense?
Yeah, I loved it. That was, you know, it's great just to be out there and just to hit people. I loved it.
Right. So now let's talk about your freshman year. You come to Derby, and I believe your freshman class was also Tom D'Onofrio's first class as head coach.
Correct.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Talk about that team a little bit, because you guys had some talent that came out of that group. I believe John Pache, yourself, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a couple guys.
Joey Frigno,
right. Even Ken Lyman.
Yeah.
Right. So talk about freshman year and that football team.
Freshman year, we were pretty good. I believe we lost two games, I want to say. I believe we were like 8-2. Tommy D'Onofrio was the head coach. John Dorsch.
Right.
Who was a fellow officer with me in Derby. And then my uncle actually helped out. My uncle Ron Bartone. Helped out for a little. We had a pretty good team. You know, we, like you said, John Pache was our running back. We had a couple good receivers, Richie Lord.
Now, did Don, I think Don played for
Don did
year,
play.
Correct.
Don did right. play, but then didn't come back till he was a senior.
Right.
So he took the couple years off.
Right.
But that Shelton game, I remember pretty well because I broke my thumb in that game. My throwing hand, too, my right thumb.
Right.
So we lost. I forget what the score was, but it was a tough game. I just remember that.
You know, I always say freshman year is a fun year, too, because it's really your last year where you're with your class together, and then you guys are together, but you're also with other kids as well. So, I mean, did you have a lot of fun that freshman year playing with those guys?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that was one of the years that we had the couple of the JV guys played with us, too.
Oh, okay.
They had, I believe, Dave Chevarella came down. I want to say Doug Seibart. I can't recall who else. Maybe Scott Marcuccio, I believe, too.
Right.
Yeah, they let the JV guys come down. But then we had one game in Amity, I remember, recall, as a freshman. Buddy Chernovich was the head coach.
Right.
And he didn't allow those guys to play.
Oh,
so before the game, I remember that. So we had to make a couple adjustments. But I believe I'm not sure if we won that game or not. I can't recall. That might be our other loss that year.
Right. Did you enjoy were you playing both sides of the ball that year?
Yes,
as well?
I was playing the safety as well, safety and quarterback.
Right. And that, you know, that was a very good class. You know, we'll talk more about that class, but there's a lot of talent as far as athletics go. I mean,
right.
A lot of these guys were very athletic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I even think, I don't think he returned after sophomore year, but I think Joey Guyon played on that team.
Right.
Not Pete, right?
Pete never played football.
Right. You know, and he was kind of small, but he probably would have been a good football player.
Yeah, really.
If he played.
Definitely.
So now, how was baseball freshman year? Did you play, if I'm not mistaken, you played on the varsity that year,
I did. I started off at the freshman team, and I think, I want to say the third or fourth varsity game of the year, D told me I was going to play varsity. I'm like, all right. And I started at third base.
Right. Now, were you nervous? Or?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you're a freshman. You go out there. I mean, I wasn't nervous about, you know, my skills and playing because I knew I could do it. It's just the fact that being at that level, things are a little faster. You know, they throw harder.
Right.
So it was just adjusting to that.
Was there anything that year that you did that you learned from where you said, you know what, this was a learning lesson. I'm a young kid. I got to do this differently next time. Any mistakes you might have made?
Yeah, of course. There's always mistakes, but I believe it was my first game. First try, I got a ground ball to third base. I made the play through the first, you know, got the guy out, gave me some confidence, and from there on, it was just like, you know, an everyday thing. But, you know, you learn, you know, you make mistakes, you know. You got D as a coach, a great coach, but then he'll always tell you that when you're wrong, you know, and fix you.
Right.
So it was a good experience.
And now, did you pitch JV a lot that year as well?
I did. I pitched JV. I don't recall. I can't remember if I pitched varsity at all. I might have a little bit, but not a lot.
Right. And now, at this point, Don Shepherd was playing as well. Let me ask you. Seeing how he threw and yourself, did you see big things for your class down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. Don was tremendous. Just a natural, you know, very calm and cool. Just was a great baseball player. Just he loved the game. Not vocal, like I said, but would just, you know, do what he had to do.
Right. And now, if I'm not mistaken, freshman year, you did not play basketball that year?
I didn't. For some reason, I grew up on Lakeview Terrace, so you're familiar with the area. And Buster Jaddick, who is the head wrestling coach, lived on the same street as me.
Right.
So we would always talk, and he's like, yeah, you know, come out and try it out. So I went out and wrestled my freshman year, and I wasn't too successful. I was 140 pounds. And then that weight back then, you would always have to wrestle, like, the senior captain and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't do too well. I won like maybe 5 or 6 matches, and I said, you know, I stuck it out, you know, finished the year.
Right.
And I said, it's not for me. So then my sophomore year, I played basketball.
Were you missing basketball at all that year?
So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, because, you know, when you always play it, since I was young, bitty basketball, so I missed it a little bit, but I just wanted to stick it out. I you know, I committed to wrestling, so I wanted to finish the year out.
Right. What do you think is the biggest problem with Derby basketball? Why was it not successful? Do you just think it's Derby stops growing and these other kids keep growing? Or?
Mike, I got to be honest with you. I really don't know. I mean, I think it's a numbers point issue. I mean, so many kids. I mean, not too many kids, and you get so many kids that play, 10, 15 kids. We never had anyone over 6 feet tall, really. I mean, I don't know. People always say, is the water in Derby? I don't know, but. Never had any tall kids, and that would always hurt us. I don't think, like I said, back when I played, and I don't think people really cared that much about basketball. They just did it to play.
Right.
It was more of a football, like even back then, football. So, but I just liked playing the game. I enjoyed it.
Right. So now talk to me about that first meeting that Coach DeCenzo has. You're still a freshman, but he's basically talking to the new group. You're going to be a sophomore. Nerves going into that classroom that day for that first meeting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know new Coach DeCenzo just from being around in school and talking to him, and he would talk to me every once in a while. He would come to some of our games and watch, you know, after right. their practice. And as being a kid and growing up in Derby and coming from my family, it's just that, you know, you kind of know that you have to do good. It's like that. It's like instilled in you. So that first meeting, you know, very nervous, you know, it's the nervous to a point where you just want to make everybody proud and you want to do good. So it's more like that.
Right. So now you start spring practice that year. And mm-hmm. Let me ask you, did you have any idea about Mr. Alou? Like, you probably saw him in school. He was a history teacher, but did you really know much about him as a coach?
No, not at all. Heard stories from other players, you know. He was a great coach, and he's not going to give you any leeway. He's going to tell you like it is, and he's going to congratulate you when you do good, and when you do bad, you know, he would let you know. But you have to realize that when he was letting you know you did bad, he was just trying to help you to make you a better player.
Right. As a sophomore, and you're at spring practice, and you're seeing him get on you if you're not doing something right or you don't know a coverage, was there a part of you that would go home and be like, you know, I don't know if I could take this every day or –
No, never had that thought cross my mind. Like coming from my family, I knew what it was about. I knew, you know, my father was tough on me in good ways, you know, and told me to always, you know, play hard and listen to your coaches because they're going to lead you in the right direction. So I never felt that way.
No. So now the season begins. There was a lot predicted for that team. I know they finished 6-4.
Right.
It wasn't the best team. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some injuries early on in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But that first year, I believe maybe the third or fourth game, you started at a defensive back.
Correct. Safety.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about just being able to play varsity that year and what that first year was like.
Oh, it was great. You know, a little nerve-wracking at first, you know, being a sophomore. I believe I started, like you said, the third or fourth game, and then and sometimes Steve Bizzotto and I would rotate
right
at safety. Yeah, it was fun. You know, I always liked playing, you know, they call it like center field in football, being a safety. You get to see right. the whole field. So it was something I was good at. I always found the ball and always played the ball. So had a couple interceptions, I believe, that year. I returned one for a touchdown, I think, against Lyman Hall.
Right.
And one against Ansonia. But we didn't do too well in that game, though.
Right. And we'll get to that game in a second. Mm-hmm. But what do you think happened with that team? They started off 1-2. You know, and then they were able to rebound before the Ansonia game. But it just looked like they were never able to get in sync, you know, throughout that season.
Yeah, I mean, great players in that team, a ton of talent. It just for some reason, we just couldn't put it together. I mean, we had, you know, Todd Hunter, who's not with us anymore, was a great player.
Right.
Chris Cordadori, a quarterback. I mean, just, I could go up and down. And
Chris Benanto.
Right. The line was great. Mike Ginetti, Mike Valentine.
Right.
Jeff Owens. Like I said, I mentioned before, Steve Bizzotto.
Right. Who, you know, was known for his kicking, but he was a very good D-back.
Very good
and D-back, receiver.
And he ran the ball a little bit, too. So right. John and Rome and Jason Palmieri were juniors.
Right.
They both started in the backfield. It was just couldn't put it together. I mean, there were some tough teams in the league that year, but I really think we underachieved. We just couldn't put it together.
Right. Now, if I'm correct in saying, you did quarterback the JV team that year, correct?
Yes, I did.
Right. And I imagine John Oko worked with you a lot at quarterback.
Yes, yes.
Talk about John Oko and how he helped you develop.
Another great coach in Derby. I mean, knew his X and O's very much so. And always did the drills with him, like at practice. Would always teach me the right way to throw, all the reads and all that kind of stuff. Was always another coach that would get on you, but in a good way, you know, so you'd learn.
Right. And now let's talk, you mentioned Ansonia before.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing about that game is Derby was right in that game. Ansonia ended up winning 28-7.
Right.
But you talk about your interception.
Yep.
You guys were down 14-7. You had just picked off a pass.
Right. That was the set, I believe, the start third quarter, early
right.
third quarter.
And you guys were moving the ball, and then a huge fumble at the goal line. You know, they returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And
it was more. I think it was like a more like at the 20. I remember Chris Gardner rolling out. And to his left, and the ball got popped out, and they just picked it up and ran. It changed the whole game.
Right.
Now, if we could go in there on that drive and score and tie it up, I mean, totally different game.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they had a lot of talent. That
oh, they were loaded.
Team.
Yeah.
They had Kevin Sharkey, Dennis Tinney, you know.
Fran Hendricks.
Right, Bull Kinnebrew. I mean, they had so many great players. Mike Diuto, who was a great lineman. So, I mean, they had a ton of talent, and yet you guys were right there with them. And
yep.
You know, Palmieri was running the ball great that day. I mean, he really was. And, you know, it ended up, like I said, 28-7. But you guys really, you know, that play doesn't happen. I think, you know, that's coming down to the wire.
Definitely a different game, definitely.
What was that like for you to play in your first Derby Ansonia game on the varsity side of it?
It was it's amazing. I mean, the whole ride from leaving the clubhouse to that maybe 4 or 5 minute ride over to Ansonia. And you get out, and you just it hits you there. You get the goosebumps. I think the best part of it all is that when you're warming up, when you go back into the locker room, when you come back out, when everyone's there, it's just an indescribable feeling.
Right.
As a young kid, I mean, I was a young kid in high school, age-wise, so I believe I was only 14 in that game.
Right.
I graduated at high school at 17 only, so I was still pretty young.
Right. And, you know, you guys lose that game, but then you guys rebound very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You get a big win against Seymour. You guys were down, I believe, by 2 touchdowns. And
yep.
You came back,
yep.
Won the game, and Bozzato made a big catch
right.
to win that game.
That game was in Derby. Yeah,
right.
I remember that.
And then you're playing an undefeated North Haven team. They're 8-0. It's on a Friday night. And the other thing about it is Derby had beaten North Haven, I think, 24 straight years.
Right.
It had been a long time. And you guys pull off the upset. I mean, talk about... Those North Haven games were classic against Derby.
Classic games. It was great to be involved in that rival. I remember that that Friday night. They were pretty cocky. They came down, I want to say, with around 8 busloads of people.
Right.
And they kind of like tried to take over Ryan Field. I mean, they had their own band with this huge like synthesizer. They were playing this loud music, and we're like all, you know, going on. Great athletes, Max Joyner Brown, who was a great athlete. I believe that was his junior year.
Right.
Delvecchio, I believe, was the quarterback, if I remember correctly. They just tried to take over our field, but we didn't let them have it. You know, Friday nights in Derby under lights, it was tough.
You know,
tough to beat us back then.
Thing is, Derby didn't lose many games at Ryan Field back then. So, I mean, you know, even though North Haven was undefeated,
right.
It wasn't going to be a given. And that was a classic game, came down to the wire again, and Derby pulled it off. And you really felt like going into Shelton, Derby had that game, and, you know, the game gets canceled.
Canceled, and they moved to a Saturday, I believe
right,
it was.
In the snow. And the offense just could never get in sync that game. And big fumble.
Scott, I never forget it. Right. Scott DeMarco just ran it back, I remember.
Right.
Like it was yesterday.
And that was a big, you know. You like to end it on a good note, and after being 3-3 to end 7-3.
7-3 would have been, it still would have been, you know, I think we still would have been underachieved at 7-3, but it would have been a lot better.
Right. So now you go into the basketball season. Tony Lionetti, who you mentioned was your baseball coach.
Right.
He takes over. And, you know, the thing of it is, in 2 years as the basketball coach, he only won 5 games, but Derby was in every game.
Right.
Though, you know, there were at least 3 games I can remember you guys lost by maybe 2 or 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So Derby was competitive again. Talk about Coach Lionetti, Coach Monahan, who were coaching that staff at the time.
Two great guys. I mean, I've known them pretty much my whole life. Mr. Lionetti used to live across the street from me on Lakeview Terrace for a little while.
Right.
That year was, we had a lot of talent. I played a little bit as a sophomore. I believe Chris Gradadore, Todd Hunter, Joe Martin was very good as a junior.
Right.
Chris Benanto. So we actually
had Cavallaro.
Ralph Cavallaro. Yeah. We actually had some a little bit of size. I mean, if Ralph was like 6'2",
right.
Chris was like 6'1". I mean, back then that was actually pretty big.
Right.
So, but we were like playing in the Housatonic League though was tough. I mean, those teams were just.
And a lot of those teams were known for basketball.
Right. That's what I was just gonna say. I mean, they're basketball schools, so it's like, and then you have to play Shelton and Double L school. I mean, I think every kid on the Shelton team, I don't think not one of them played football. I think they were all just basketball players.
Right. You know, another guy that was very underrated as a basketball player was Brian Marcuccio. He was a great defensive player. And he fouled out a lot, but
great
he
defensive
fouled
players,
out
yeah.
because he was constantly on his guy, you know, and that was a big reason why Derby stayed in the game.
Right. I remember being frustrated with him at practice because a lot of times he'd have to guard me and he was like on you like glue. So
right.
he would frustrate you.
So now let's talk about baseball. You're a sophomore mm-hmm. now, and this was a rough year for Derby in a lot of ways. Coach D had just lost his father,
right.
so he was going through a rough time. You know, mm-hmm. nobody knew if he was going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys kind of start that season, and it's pretty much a sad season. Talk about your sophomore year playing baseball that year.
Well, it was another good experience. I remember I pitched a lot that year. I started pitching a lot. We had some good players. Like another team where we just really couldn't put it together. You know, we had Jeff Owens was another one of our pitchers, Chris Gradadoria.
Right.
We lost a lot of tough games. I think we finished with, I want to say, 8 wins.
Maybe, yeah, 7 or 8.
Seven or eight. So right. back then you needed 10 to qualify. I believe it's 8 now.
Right.
Yeah, so another Housatonic League is tough. I mean, those teams, North Haven, Cheshire, you know, Shelton, it was just a tough year. We just didn't put it together and get enough wins.
Did you feel good about your season that year, though, how you did, as how you developed?
I was always – not so much so, Mike. I was always, you know, winning was the most important thing to me. I didn't like losing. You know, I didn't care about individual.
Right.
I was always a team guy. I just wanted, the team to win. And I wanted to get that taste of being in the playoffs, in the tournament. And now this is 2 years in a row. Now freshman and sophomore year, we didn't make it. So I didn't know what it was like. I wanted to be there.
Right. You know, a lot of players, it's more so today, not so much when you played, they focus on one sport. They believe right. that they need to focus on the sport right. that they think will get them a scholarship or mm-hmm. things like that. Was there ever a thought in your mind of giving up football or basketball and just focusing on baseball?
Never.
No, so that never
just, that's
ended.
How it was with me. I just love sports, and I played no matter what. I mean, it was nonstop. I mean, and I enjoyed it. It was one season into the next, and it never fazed me. I just went along with it.
Right. And, you know, you talk about the Hoosie. The Hoosie was tough back then. It's not easy. I mean, a lot of these teams are also baseball schools, you
right,
know,
right.
where North Haven isn't the best football school. They were tremendous in baseball.
Yes.
Had a great coach in baseball, Bob
yeah.
DeMeo,
yeah.
who also coached their football team. So, I mean, you had, and Cheshire
I believe he's
as
still
well.
There, isn't he?
Yeah. As far as I know, he just won one recently
yeah,
at
that's
84
amazing.
Years old.
Amazing.
It's crazy. But, you know, it wasn't easy for Derby. Derby was always kind of a small school. So, I mean, basically these kids grinded out victories, you know.
Right.
So now your junior year comes football season. Let me ask you this. Were there expectations for this team to go all the way, or did it kind of just happen, you know, and nobody, you know, expected it?
It kind of just happened. We, I believe we were picked to finish 7th or 8th in the league.
Right.
I mean, we had a lot of good players, a lot of athletes coming back. I think that was the best thing about that team is that we had exceptional athletes.
Right.
You know, we had a lot of hard-nosed kids, but we had talented players. The expectations were to win the league.
Right.
I believe that was our goal, to win the Housatonic League at first.
And, you know, you guys started off with a 21-0 victory over Brantford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people didn't really know what to make. Brantford wasn't a good team that year, but
they beat us the year before.
Right.
So
the defense played great that game, and you know, Palmieri and Ann Roman had a great game,
mm-hmm.
as did Martin. But the Seymour game, I always look at where Seymour was very good that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they won 7 or 8 games, and you guys just buried them
right.
from the start. The first
right.
half, it was 26-0. Just talk about like playing that Seymour game. I mean, could you guys ever envision that would happen?
We no, not at all. We knew it was going to be a battle. We knew they were good. I remember the newspaper hyped them up, Seymour, big time the week before. They had a name for them, the running back, something train. I remember Brooks and Dewey. They were all over the paper.
Right.
We had to travel up to Seymour, to Barber Field. I'll never forget it. I give the coaches a lot of credit. They prepared us well.
Right.
I mean, we defensively pretty much they couldn't do anything.
I think there were like five interceptions in that game.
I had one in that game. I believe
Joe had two.
I think
there was somebody else. I can't recall.
Maybe John in Roman. I'm not sure.
It's possible, right?
It was just like we knew the play they were calling before they even ran it. It was just that type of game. And then we had our wing tee offense, which was basically new then.
Right.
You know, in high school football, and they just couldn't stop us either up the middle or on the outside.
Right. I mean, that was a terrific game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you talk about the North Haven game. You just talked about how North Haven had 8 busloads. Well, this game, their fans really thought they were winning
the game. They really thought this was the year.
And, you know, you guys come out, and I believe Sean Wandell got hurt in this game, too.
He did. He broke his forearm.
Right. He had to come out, and John Paque stepped in, and, you know, Ferrigno stepped in as well. But this was a classic derby game, but it was such a nail-biter. Talk to me about the overtime sequence and what that was like.
The overtime was it was intense. They got the ball first, and they ran a couple plays. I remember myself, it was like I think it was a second down play. I tackled the tight end like in a screen pass. Then third down came, and they threw a ball to the end zone, and we broke it up, and they kicked a field goal. Now, they kicked the field goal, and the North Haven side of the field is going bananas. Like they already won the game, and we're saying to ourselves, what's going on here? You know, we still have a shot.
Right.
And then I remember being not on the sidelines, and Charlie called a play. I believe it was I can't remember the name. I knew it was like a double post or post corner or something like that to Scott, and Joe just threw a perfect ball.
Right, and it was a great catch by
Scott. Yeah, he got 1 foot in, and that was it.
Right, and I just remember Derby going crazy, and you could just see the North Haven players were disgusted throwing their helmets. I mean, you know, you still look at it in that highlight reel, and it was just – you know, everybody will talk about Ansonia being a big game that year, but that North Haven game and Lyman Hall game were the two big games.
Another quick thing about that game was we were going into the locker room at halftime, and they had a call like the North Haven police sacramore. They were throwing bottles at us, spitting at us. Because right when you walk through their field, you had to walk by their bleachers.
Yes.
Like right next to them, and it was just crazy.
Right. You guys, you know, following week, another tough game. You beat Cheshire 28-21.
Yep.
That was another one. The East Haven game, I think to myself, that was great that happened the way it did, because if you guys buried them, you probably don't go undefeated. It was a lesson learned that you can't take a team lightly.
Right.
And Coach DeCenzo has told me many times that this was his fault because he kind of went easy on you guys in practice that week. Talk about that game a little
bit. Yeah, that was I can remember going on the bus down there. It was a monsoon. It was pouring rain.
Right.
And I remember feeling like the energy wasn't really there that game. I think we all thought that, you know, East Haven had been down in their years as a program. They weren't that good. I think they didn't have a win that season. And it was a simple case, Mike, of us thinking that we're going to roll in there and just, you know. And I think the rain had somewhat to do with it. I mean, it was a nasty game.
Right.
But we should have beat them by at least 6 touchdowns.
Right. But, and the one thing about East Haven, they may not have a good record, but they will play dirty.
They have tough kids. They've always had tough kids. They'll play you hard. Maybe not as talented as we were, but they would give you a tough game.
Right. So now let's talk about the big game, Ansonia.
Yeah.
And this was a big game, you know. Jason Palmieri told me the story. He was throwing up before the game. He was so nervous.
Right.
Now you're a junior and you experienced this, but you were also 3-2 at the time when you played him your sophomore year.
Right.
You're 5-0, a lot's on the line. Just talk to me about that game and what it meant to you.
I mean, it's I just got the chills by you talking about it. It's just from that morning, I remember my father dropping me off in front of the clubhouse at like 8:30. Cold out, there was dew on the ground. I'll never forget walking to the clubhouse and just looking out there. There's like the fog on the grass. I mean, the whole experience of just being there that day. Go out for warm-ups like a half hour before the game. Then we come back in. When we went out there, there wasn't that many people there. But I never forget walking out of that locker room and getting ready to go on the field and looking around, Ryan Field, they called it back then. But you couldn't see anywhere. There was people lined up on the hills, 10 deep at the fence.
Right.
It's just something that you never forget. The experience was great. And what a game it was, too. I mean,
Right, and you guys fell behind right away. Palmieri fumbled the ball. I think he put it in his wrong.
Robbie Clark, another great athlete from Antonio, picked it up and ran it in, and we were right within a minute down already.
Right, but you guys never, you know, Rob Hyder said this a lot. You guys would, you know, sometimes be in trouble, but you never lose your composure.
Right.
You'd always make sure that, you know, you got the wins. Brian Marcuccio just has a phenomenal game.
Unbelievable.
And you talk about, you know, if you want one person to have a great game, it'd be him because he was such a nice kid, good person. And what a game he had. I mean, he really, you know, had three big touchdowns that basically decided the game pretty much.
Yeah, it was. He had a great day. They, I remember their safety. I believe it was Carl Barrett, another excellent player for them. He just would – we would run the double post, and he would just bite on the up guy or the bootleg. He would bite on the tight end.
Right.
I believe it was Joey Frigno would be going across the middle, and Martin would read it every time, and he would hit the backside post, and he was wide open.
Right, and you talk about Martin. You, Martin, and Ann Roman were big in the secondary that day.
I
think you guys each – Martin had three interceptions,
I also
think you had one, and Johnny had one towards the end of the game
that
was big.
Yeah.
You know, Ansonia was – that was
in
the
end zone,
That was the other thing, too. Ansonia was driving that whole fourth quarter, and you guys just kept your composure, and again, you weren't going to allow them to win that game.
No, it was just our day. We just were great on defense. We played together. Just the whole team was like that. We just all played together.
And I'm sure you've probably beaten Ansonia before that, but this had to be special to walk off that field.
I got to say, Mike, I don't think I did. We didn't play them as freshmen.
Right.
Maybe once in Pop Warner. I don't recall, but my sophomore year, obviously, we lost, and then my junior year, we won.
That had to be a great feeling.
It was great.
When Martin took the final snap and it was over, I mean, just had to be a great
Little nerve-wracking for me because, you remember, he got hurt.
Right.
I had to come in. I only ended up taking one snap. It was the end of the half, and we took a knee, but I was preparing myself. Like, if he can't go, I got to go.
Right.
So.
So now you talk about Martin getting hurt. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play the Amity game.
Right.
You step in. You guys play Amity. And if I'm not mistaken, you had two touchdown passes in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk to me about that. Let me ask you. I mean, you're never going to want to say you don't want to be out there, but was it a little more nerve-wracking now you're playing both sides of the ball?
It was. It's a little more, you know, it's a little harder. You got, you know, more things to worry about. And the fact that we're undefeated.
Amity had a good record that year.
They were a good team.
Right.
The thought of me going in there and being the quarterback and us losing, of course, is going to cross my mind. But like I said, the coaches got me ready, you know.
Right.
I was prepared, you know, always in practice, even before those games. Coach DeSens always made sure I had enough reps with the starting offense.
Right.
You know, so I was prepared, and I felt confident. You know, I didn't put – defense was a little different. I think they rotated me out a little bit. In those games,
right?
Because I was playing
Paul
quarterback.
Allen came in a little
bit. Yeah,
right.
Scott Ezzo. Was it Scott Ezzo? Yeah, Scott Ezzo.
Right.
So, but yeah, I just knew I was confident in our guys, and they were confident in me, and they even told me that. They said they had my back, which was great. So just go out there and do your job, and it worked out.
Right. And let's talk about the magical night at Sheehan.
Yeah.
You throw four touchdown passes in the first half. You tie your record. Talk about that because, you know, most backups, basically what a coach wants them to do is just don't lose the game.
Manage the game.
But you were a different type of backup because you easily could have been the starter that year as well. Talk about that Sheehan game and what that was like.
The Sheehan game was pretty crazy because they completely shut down Jason and John.
Right.
They
were good that year,
They were good. They played pretty much an eight-man front the entire game. So Charlie saw that, the coaches saw that, and we just threw the crap out of the ball pretty much. I mean, we ran every pass play we had, and everything pretty much worked. It was open.
Right. Talk about that game. I mean, as a junior in high school, and you said you graduated at 17, so you might have been just 16 at the time. Talk about that feeling.
It was great. I remember walking after the game out to the bus, and another Derby guy you had in Reese, Chris Anderson, was standing there.
Right.
He's like giving me a high five, you know, hugged me. Oh, that was awesome job, great job. And then I see my parents, they hug me. Then I find out that I got player of the game, WADS player of the game,
right,
which was even better. So like on that whole bus ride home, I was just like on cloud nine. I'm like, you know, we're undefeated still. We had a great game. And then we're getting ready for, I believe it was Lyman Hall the next week.
Right. And the thing is, you know, in high school football and Derby especially, you know, they're such a running team. it's hard to get six touchdown passes in a season.
Back then.
Never mind two games. So
Mike, I wish I was quarterback today with all these offenses. Oh, I would have a field day.
Yeah.
We threw the ball. That game was an exception to Sheehan game because of that's what the defense was giving us, so we had to throw it. But besides that, I would throw the ball maybe six, seven times a game.
Right. And you mentioned Lyman Hall. Again, I don't think Derby took Lyman Hall lightly. What I think happened was Lyman Hall, if you know anything about them, they want to beat Derby.
Absolutely.
And they came into that game knowing Derby undefeated.
Who didn't want to beat Derby?
Right. You know? But that was a nail-biter. I think you guys
overtime.
Were down by a touchdown at the half. But again, you know, it's funny that a guy could be a hero in both overtime games. You guys get into overtime. Martin runs in, I think, from the 10-yard line. And then Ezzo picks off the pass to end the game. Just talk about how relieved you were, because, I mean, it was great to win, but that had to be relief.
Well, I don't know if you remember, I started at quarterback that game.
Right.
And I ended up with bruiser. I got hit pretty good on a play.
Right.
And I want to say it was in the first quarter, and I just couldn't go. Was having trouble throwing.
Right.
And so Joe was, I'm not sure if he was still 100%, but he came in, and it was just like a back-and-forth game, and we ended up coming through in overtime. The overtime was, like, Scott Ezzo was unbelievable.
Right.
He made that interception at the end, and we just, like, stormed the field. It was, that's the type of year it was. I mean,
No easy games.
We didn't blow anybody out. We were very competitive. The teams we played were very good teams. They were competitive as well.
Right.
So it was hard every week. It's not – we had to be ready every week.
Right. And you guys beat Shelton 14-3. Again, Shelton only had three wins going into that game.
Another tough game.
You can never take them lightly.
We had to grind that one out, too. I mean, they're a tough, tough defensive team. I remember they scored first. I mean, I forget.
On a field goal,
a field goal. It was like a long field goal, too. And but we scored 14, and then that was it.
Yeah, and Palmieri had a great game that game. I think close to 200 yards
rushing. Yeah.
So now let's talk about the state championship game, because if I'm not mistaken, you had about three interceptions
in
that
game. I did. I had three interceptions,
And that was the thing, too. Early on in that game, I don't know if it was nerves or what, but the team, Hoosie was moving the ball on you guys.
Yep.
And you guys were having trouble getting your offense going.
Right.
But Rob Hyder always tells me about this, that at the half, he expected you guys to get yelled at and stuff, and it was the total opposite.
Total opposite.
DeCenzo came in there all calm and said, we got this. Really made you guys come out in the second half and just take over.
I think a lot of us were just, like, dumbfounded when he came in and was just like, wait, who's this guy, you know? It kind of gave us, like, it kind of relaxed us a little. I think we were a little bit too tense. I think we were nervous. I mean, who's not nervous in a state championship game? But then when we came out in the second half, it was just, we just steamrolled them.
Right. And I mean, like I said, Palmieri had a great game on offense.
Yep.
You know, I always liked the fact that Rich Scaife got in the end zone that day. I thought that was
wonderful. Dave Van Roman.
Right.
Same thing.
Dave Van Roman.
It was great.
And you had three picks, and I mean, you were all over the ball that day. I mean, that had to be a great feeling in a championship game on the defensive side to get three interceptions.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, great day for me. Just doing, like I said, the coaches would always prepare me. Mr. Allo was the best defensive backs coach, always had you lined up right, the formations, you know, you knew where to go.
Right.
And it was just a matter of me just playing the ball, you know, having that instinct and playing the ball.
Right. What was the feeling like when, I mean, you knew probably in the fourth quarter this game was over. So did it sink in finally? Wow, we're going to be state champions.
Yeah, it did. It was great. I mean, the bus ride home was the best. I mean, the town really really represented us well, and we had the escort, and it was just a great feeling. You know, you get off the bus there were people mobbed us at the clubhouse. I remember being in the clubhouse. I mean, there was like standing room only, like everyone was up there, it was packed. It was just a great time.
Right, and then the night got even better because Danbury got beat.
Right.
And they were ranked number one. You guys were two.
Right.
So then there was no way you guys weren't going to be ranked.
And I think West Haven was up there, too, and I think they got knocked off by St. Joe's or vice versa or something like that.
On Thanksgiving, West Haven, it got beat. And then Naugatuck had got beat by Ansonia because I think you guys were number four.
Right. And don't forget that year, we scrimmaged West Haven. We beat them pretty good
at
Ryan Field. So they were a good team, but we beat them pretty good that year.
Right. So the season comes to an end, and you're elected captain along with John Paquet. I know you probably, in the back of your mind, expected it, but it still had to be a great feeling to know you were going to be one of the captains.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an honor. I mean, going through with my family, there was numerous Bartones that were captains as well before and after me, so it was definitely an honor. And I knew that, you know, being a senior, I had to be a leader, you know. John and I, you know, we had to get it started.
Right. So now the basketball season, again, you guys win three games, but you get a big win against North Haven that year, which North Haven was a tough team for Derby to play in basketball.
Right.
That was a great night at Derby. You guys beat them. Talk about that season, because you guys easily could have won 10 games that year.
Yeah, another. It was, like I said, we had so many athletes on that team. We just, not so much, we were just kids that played sports. You know what I mean? That we, from being little to there, and we had some talent, like I said, but the league was just so tough, Mike. I mean, just, we were outsized every game.
Right, right.
So we really had to, if we were going to win, we just had to be scrappy and just, you know, try to have some of our athleticism take over.
Right. And, you know, you had a couple of new players that year. I think Pachi Ramirez came up.
Yeah, oh,
that's
right.
He was a very big player for that team that year. I think Ferrigno got some playing time. You know, I don't think Pete played that year. That could have hurt you guys a little bit as well.
Right, he didn't play, no.
Right, but, you know, you were playing a lot that year.
Yep.
You know, again, Brian Marcucci had a great year.
Joey Martin,
Ralph Cavallaro. So, yep. I mean, even though it was a 3-17 team, it was one of Derby's better teams. It just, again, you're outmanned.
Outmanned and outnumbered every game. The league was just so tough.
Right. So now it's junior year baseball season.
Yep.
And you and Donnie, I mean, like, you know, that's a coach's dream to have two great pitchers like that. And I believe you guys finished the season 12-8. I could be wrong. Maybe
yes.
I was right.
12-8.
Talk about that team that year, because, you know, we're going to get to the big team, but this team easily could have won the state title that year as well.
Yeah. Like you said, it was Donnie and I pretty much every other game. We had a good year. We had a lot of, you know, a couple players coming back from the year before. We had Johnny and Roman and Joey Martin, myself, Don, Pete, Joey Guyon, Pat McMahon was our catcher. League was tough again. I mean, we're a small school playing in the Housatonic League, and there's no other S schools besides us.
Right.
So double LL. We ended up, like you said, winning 12 games. We had a couple good wins during the year, and then our first round game, I believe, was against Bacon Academy at home.
Right.
And we beat them like 13-0, or I don't remember the score correctly. And then we had to go to the second round. We played in Nanawag against Nanawag High School.
Right.
And that game was just, that didn't end too well. I think we kind of got hosed at the end, but it is what it is.
Right. But you and Donnie had a great year. You know, you both, like I said, if I'm not mistaken, I think you had 6 or 7 wins. Donnie had 6 wins at least.
Yep.
So, I mean, great pitching staff, pitching wins championships.
Right.
So you could definitely see that, you know, there could be big things for your
senior
year.
That's year I made All-State, too.
Right,
at third base.
And, I mean, how did that feel?
Anytime
you make All-State,
it was
that's
great.
Be
I remember
great
being
feeling.
In school and D calling me out of class and telling me it was unbelievable. But like I said, I never really cared about the individual stuff. It was always about winning as a team for me, you know?
Right.
That was just added to it.
And that was one of Derby's better years. They had some down years in baseball.
Right.
So to go 12-8, that was a great year.
We ended up 13-9.
Right, definitely. So now let's go to your senior year of football. And we'll just go, you know, you guys lost a heartbreaker to Seymour. That game could have went either way. You guys were up early, and then they made a big play at the end. Kind of, you know, was a tough loss, and it ended the streak. You come back the following week in North Haven, and a fluke play, you're making a tackle, and you break your wrist. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was playing safety. I believe my coverage at that time was I had the tight end man-to-man. They threw like a quick dump pass to him. So I'm coming up to make the tackle, and he goes one way, and my momentum carries me the opposite way, so then he cuts back. So I'm going back the other way, and I swing my left arm out, and I hit him like in his thigh area, and I knew it right then. My arm just went limp, and it was, like, hanging a little.
Right.
So I rolled over on the ground. I looked at it, and the last thing I remember after that was being in the ambulance.
Right.
And going to the hospital.
So pretty much you were just numb from
the home. Yeah.
Did you – was it more pain at the time or the feeling that you knew
it
your season?
No, I don't remember any pain. It was just, like, being in shock.
Right.
I think the next day is when – in the hospital is when it hit me.
Right.
Like, wow, my season could be over, you know, captain of the team. And we ended up winning that game, so we were 3-1. We were still pretty respectable, you know.
Right. And 3-1 is still gives you an outside shot at, you know, making the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
You never know what could happen.
Right.
Talk about, let me ask you, how difficult was it for you for those 4 games you missed to have to watch your team play? I mean, that had to be a rough. And what lesson did you learn about it, like, as a man?
It was like, you know, it was tough. You learn about in life, you never take anything for granted. in life. And just going back there, and then the first game back against the Cheshire was a tough one. I mean, it was
And it was raining
Friday
that
night, pouring rain. Their team was great. They had two guys that went Division One, I believe, off that team.
Right.
The offensive tackle was like 6'6" or whatever. They went to Virginia. And that was the start of the McIntosh brothers.
Yes.
That's when the whole era of them started. Dominic Buono was our backup. He was playing a great game. Our defense was lights out.
Right.
We were winning 7-0, I believe, the whole game. They scored towards the end, and we were one tackle away. I believe the coach at the time was Steve Adazio.
Right, yeah.
Who now coaches at BC. So they decided to go for two to go for the win. I'll never forget the play. Don't forget Dave Van Roman was also out that game, too. He injured his knee against North Haven. So
right.
We were shorthanded. They run a toss to, I believe, one of the McIntosh brothers, and we had two guys that were there. We were in perfect position to make the tackle. He just slipped around, and we ended up losing 8-7.
Right.
It was tough.
Yeah.
We win that game, then we don't have a losing season.
Right. And, you know, Whip Bowano is quarterback, and I believe Van Roman quarterbacked a little bit, too.
Yep.
You guys were able to get a split. But let me ask you, realistically, did the doctor tell you you should sit out the rest of the season? Did you force yourself to come back?
Kind of.
Right.
The surgery was a mess from the beginning. I still don't have till this day, I don't have the full range of my left hand. It was...
Right.
And I don't know if that was from the surgery or that was from when I came back, because I believe it was Sheehan game.
Right.
Brian Field, under the lights, it was freezing cold.
And I believe you threw a touchdown pass in that game.
I got hit really hard at one play, like helmet right to my forearm.
Yeah.
And I think that's what did it.
Right.
It's because it's still not right today.
Right. And were you were having trouble with the snaps that
whole
game?
Yeah, because I couldn't turn my bottom hand.
Were you having trouble with the snaps in practice at all that week?
Yeah, everything.
It right. Was just,
so then Charlie implemented the shotgun.
Right. And you guys tried the shotgun. It wasn't bad against Lyman Hall, but against Shelton, it really hurt you. It was too many, you know, you got popped on one play.
Bad snaps. I'm basically working with one hand. You know what I mean? It was tough.
Right.
What bothered me the most about that year, getting it was missing out on defense, because I love playing defense. I love playing safety.
Right.
So I couldn't do that anymore. That really hurt as well.
Right. And you guys lose to Shelton, I believe, 27-14. I mean, let me ask you. I mean, I would never characterize this. I know, like, a lot of people were saying these guys were losers.
Right.
I wouldn't characterize them as losers because they didn't quit.
Never.
If you look at it, I mean, even with you at quarterback, Shelton's still a tough team to beat, no matter what. Lyman All had a great year. But, I mean, how rough was it going into that locker room after that game?
It was just everything kind of hit me at once. It was just like it all came down. I mean, it was emotional, very emotional. This is your last game as a Derby football player,
right.
And you go out as a loser. The season didn't go your way. Obviously you missed four games, you broke your arm, but there's no doubt in my mind, I don't break my arm. We don't have a losing season. Not at all.
Right.
It was just, it all hit me at once. I was kind of bummed out for a while.
Right.
I know that basketball season was coming up, but
it's still hard to get over.
Right. It's like anything, a lifetime heals, you know? So it pretty much got over. It took a little while, though.
Right. And how did you play basketball season? Was it rough for you with the arm?
It was a little. I mean, like, not so much in basketball because I was a righty, and it was just dribbling good this way, and then catching the ball was easy. Just turning my wrist was the only problem.
Right.
The basketball season didn't go too well again. I think we only won two games.
Right. But I think they expected that team to have a shot at the tournament. I think you guys played a Class S schedule.
Yeah.
And it just didn't
work out again.
Right.
We had a couple, you know, good players. We had myself, Joey, Pete,
George Hay.
Who was another big guy.
Right. Joe Liza, I think, even played a little varsity.
A little bit.
Mike Pake.
But I believe our only two wins were against Emmett O'Brien.
Right.
And at that time, I believe the second Emmett O'Brien game in Derby, it's when at that time, I set the record for three-pointers in a game.
Right.
Six, I think.
Right. You know, when basketball ended, one of the things you did before you ended your basketball career is you played in the Celebrity Giants game, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was great.
And you had a great game that game.
Yeah.
I think you had 25 points,
What was that like? Oh, that was great. I mean, they're tremendous athletes, but we played a lot of guys, a lot of Derby guys that played, like, you know, dignitaries and stuff like that.
Right.
But, They didn't obviously play as hard as they could, but
That had to be a lot of fun.
That was
though,
fun.
Right.
The best part, Mike, was at the end. Like, I got all these little kids coming up to me for my autograph. I'm like, this is great, you know.
Right. You know, it's funny you say kids come up to your to get your autograph. I don't know if you're going to remember this. This is 25 years ago, but they used to have an all-winter sports banquet, wrestling, basketball, for even like the middle school kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember the middle school coach for the girls' team was talking about his team, and he said to one girl, he said, you know, you had such a great game today. How did you play so good today? She's like, Ben Bartone was at my game.
Really?
So you had a fan base.
That's
and I remember.
That's awesome.
I remember when he said it, you were getting all red. Like, you
that's
know.
That's awesome. That's
right.
I don't remember that, but that's pretty awesome.
That's got to make you feel good a little bit that, like, there are young kids that look
absolutely
up to these.
Mike, that's how I was when I was a kid. When I remember being that age and looking up to all the Derby players that were older than me and wanted to be. That's what I wanted to be.
Right.
You know, that's how I was.
So let's talk, you know, anybody that's read this book could pretty much know from what Coach Riles talked about. But talk about this season a little bit. Were you concerned at all about your arm going into the season?
Absolutely. It started right off the bat. And when we started our winter, I believe in March it starts, or late February, in the gym.
Right.
I'll never forget going into the cage my first time. And I want to say Riles was at the drugs machine, or I forget who. And I took that first swing, Mike. It felt like I dropped him. I was like screaming in pain.
Still bothering you.
From the scar tissue and all that stuff. Right. I couldn't roll over my bottom hand. And I never forget it. It was the worst pain ever.
Right.
So I ended up going back to the doctor like the next day. And they kept telling me, you got to do extensive therapy. You got to whirlpool. You got to do everything with weights. You got to rip that scar tissue out of there to get, you know, flexibility.
Right.
It was really tough at first. Really tough.
Right.
And then D, I remember talking to me and saying, what are we going to do? And is he going to be able to play the field? Could he play a position? It was touch and go in the beginning.
Right. And you guys, I think, started off good. Then you went through a little slump.
Right.
But you were kind of having hard luck that year as a pitcher because you were giving up one or two runs
and losing.
I think at one point you were 1-5 maybe.
Yeah.
And then
I lost four games by a run, I think.
Right. And I think the turnaround for your season, though, was when Donnie was having a rough game, you came in for a few innings, and you were able to pick up the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think you lost another game the rest of the year. I think you ran the table as far as you as an individual.
Right. Yeah, the toughest game that year was obviously the North Haven game.
And also, that was a loss, but at the same time, that was one of the greatest games ever pitched.
Yeah, I struck out 18
out of 21 batters.
And lost.
Right. But talk about that. I mean, again, you say it's about the team, so I'm sure you were upset about the loss. But to have 18 strikeouts against a premier program,
right.
and I believe DeMeo got his 500th win.
Yeah,
right?
the news was there.
Right.
I'm saying to myself, we lost this game, and the news is here on our field. You know, it was just total. I remember being in the clubhouse, being dejected, Riles coming up to me. And saying, I don't know if I could quote him, he's saying it's the best performance I've ever seen.
No,
you have no reason to hang your head. And I was just upset that we lost. Like, how do we lose this game?
Did you ever think, with the broken wrist and you lose a game that you strike out 18, did you ever think somebody didn't like you? And
exactly, Mike. I'm like, luck is definitely not on my side. It's been the senior year from hell so far, you know?
Right.
So,
and then, you know, let's talk about the Cheshire game. You guys needed, you guys, I think, maybe had three more games after that, but you want to get in the tournament. You have an unlikely hero that day in Joey Guyon. I don't think he was much of a hitter, but that day he ropes one over the left field fence. You guys make the tournament. Just talk about beating a great team like Cheshire.
Yeah, Cheshire was always very tough. I mean, a double L school, great baseball players. That game was, I want to say it was back and forth, a nail biter. Joey Guyon was just a great baseball player to me.
Right.
Very even keeled. Never heard much about him. No rah-rah, this and that. He just went out there and did his job. Played third base, was solid at third base. And just what a way to end a game. I mean, a walk-off on your home field to get into the tournament, it doesn't get better than that.
Right. And let me ask you, one of the things Riles brings up in the book is D stepped on Gino's goggles.
Yeah.
Do you believe that to be true?
I mean, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It sounds like something D would do.
Yeah.
And Riles also talks about how D grabbed you and he said, yeah, Benji, you know,
he grabbed my face, like my hands around my face, was shaking my head. I'm like, all right, D, you could stop now.
Yeah. But it had to be a great feeling
because
now you know you got a chance to win a state title.
Right. Now we know. And plus at that time, we knew that we could, you know, we could better our seed too.
Right.
I mean, we still had games to go. So it wasn't like, okay, we were in the tournament. Let's just like, you know, throw it in. No, we wanted to better our seed.
Right.
And we ended up being 12 and 8. Yeah.
Right. And then the tournament, you know, I think the first round was a little scary. I think you guys ended up winning, but it was touch.
2-0.
Right.
We had a drive for, I believe, over an hour to get to the game.
Right.
It was in Coventry.
Right.
Donnie pitched, great game, but we just didn't get any. Our offense was non-existent.
Right. And, you know, you talk about the offense. Joe Leza was big on that team year. I think he had 6 home runs that year, and George Hay was doing great things. Right. So, I mean, it was crazy to think in that game that the offense was non-existent, but that's where it shows you pitching wins.
Little nerves. I mean, you got younger guys. I mean, don't forget, Joe Leza is a freshman.
Right.
Starting a catcher, you know.
I think Mike Massey was playing left
field. Right. So, and that team, you got to think there's 2 of us that only really had playoff experience from the year before,
right?
Me and Don.
Because I don't think Pete played a lot junior year, right?
No, so that's, you know, a lot of nerves.
Right. So now let's talk about the semifinal game, and I believe you're pitching.
Yeah.
You guys play, you know, that was a nail-biter as well.
That was St. Thomas Aquinas in Cheshire. Cheshire High School we played.
But you guys get that victory. Talk about, because the state title game was great, but you needed that victory to get there. Talk about just winning that game, because that game was a nail biter.
To me, that was the game.
Right.
Obviously, because that's the game you need to. There was a lot of hype going up to that game because they had a player on their team who was the Gatorade State Player of the Year.
Right.
TJ Marcinczak ended up going to Florida State. Big kid, around 6'3". So there was a lot going into that. A lot about him, you know, pretty much everything. And they really didn't give us a chance. I remember that game, a lot of people from Derby came. The whole entire field was filled with Derby people.
Right.
It was a battle. I ended up going the whole game. I think I struck him out 3 times, actually.
And the fourth, that was a great pitch game.
One time he hit one off me, I think, that's still going straight up. I never forget it. Pete Krasnowski was playing center field. He remember telling me that he didn't think it was going to come down. But he just missed it. It hit it around 500 feet in the air. But another great game by everybody. Just we got some timely hitting. We did a couple, I believe, bunts that game, moved runners over. That was just a great feeling just to win that game at the end.
Right. Now, what was it like Friday at school that day? How nervous were you for that championship game?
Nervous, just like any 16-year-old kid would be, you know? I mean, it was, at that age, you're itching like all day long. That's all you're thinking about. You didn't care about school, what was going on in school. You're like, when's the bus leave?
Even had a pep rally for you guys, which was unheard of.
Yeah,
usually it was just football.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, Mike Angelini was big on recognizing people. And
he wanted
you guys. But with everything you went through, this was your turn because Donnie really didn't have a lot in the tank that day. You had to kind of spell him, I believe, in the 4th inning, maybe the 3rd inning.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, they were scoring a lot of runs. Talk about coming in relief for those 3 innings that day.
The state championship game?
Yes.
That was, let me just start by getting to that game. On the way there, it was very emotional for me on the way there. Because everything just came together as a kid growing up. And that bus ride, I'll never forget, very emotional sitting behind Dee and Riles on the bus. So back to what you were saying, I wanted a ball. I wanted to be in that position.
You know,
I'm like, this is it. This is the only chance you get of being in that position. And I want to. And there was no one was going to take that away from me. I was just like in the zone that game. And unfortunately, I had to come out because I had too many innings.
Right.
That rule, whatever it was back then. But if I didn't have to come out, the game would have ended there. I really believe that.
Right. Yeah, you were on that day, and you kind of kept them in the game. And then, of course, we talk about Guyon again. I mean, he fouled off about 15 foul pitches.
Right.
And then but also, you guys were down in the 7th by 2 runs.
Right.
And I believe
I was up.
Yeah, and you tied it up with a base hit, I believe.
Talk about nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
another thing, standing in the box, getting ready to go up there and saying that.
And there were 2 outs, I believe.
There's 2 outs, and now you're thinking about, okay, the thought of the football season crosses your mind that we had a losing season. Now what if I get up here in the bottom of the 7th to tie the game and I don't come through?
Right.
So that thought crossed my mind, but I was just patient and confident and just got to base hit up the middle, and we tied the game.
Did you think after you guys tied it, there's no way?
I knew. Once we tied it, I'm like, this game's ours.
Right.
We had the momentum on our side. I knew that was it.
And then, you know, Joey Guyon again gets that 2-run double.
Unbelievably. Fouled off like 12 pitches.
Right.
D was like, just hit or strike out already.
Right.
I mean, come on, let's get on with it.
And then, you know, you guys are up by 2. But then Donnie's got to go back out there. And Riles tells the story that it's like, once Donnie got that second out, he had like a burst of energy.
Yeah.
And he just like fired it by.
Right. Another thing. He got adrenaline rush. I mean, how could you not in that situation? It was just great, great atmosphere. The crowd, the Derby, the fans were unbelievable.
Right. And so talk about that feeling. Donnie strikes the Terry Ville player out. What was that feeling like?
It was like, you know, you throw your glove up in the air, you're hugging everybody, you're just caught in that moment, and like everything was just like.
Were you thinking about your football season when you were running?
Take a deep breath and like, wow, yeah. I'm gonna go out of here, you know, as a senior, as a champion for Derby. It was just great.
Right. And
no one ever expected it. It's baseball, you know?
Oh yeah, right. Compared to two, I mean, it's hard, but the football and the baseball one, what is there one that is more meaningful than the other, or do they both kind of?
I want to say they're both the same, but I would say the baseball one's a little more.
Because it's a little harder to
No one ever expected it.
Right.
You know, football, when we were on that roll and winning, people kind of had it, you know, in the back of their mind that we could do this.
Right.
Baseball, it was never really that. It was never really there. We knew we had two great pitchers, and that's all you needed in a tournament.
Right.
You need two pitchers to get you through, and we made it through.
Right. And with everything that went on that whole year with your wrist, everything,
yep. Yeah.
I mean, did you leave your senior year when you graduated saying, you know what, maybe it didn't start great, but it ended great. I have no complaints.
Absolutely. No complaints. You know, I gave it my all. You know, it's obviously, I think about it a lot. I mean, how could I not? I look at my hand and my wrist every day and I think about it. So, but it was definitely left feeling proud of my school, proud of my town, proud of all my teammates and stuff, but it was great.
Right. And, you know, you would go on the Sacred Heart after that,
mm-hmm.
and I believe you had a decent career there and things.
Yeah, I only played 2 years.
Right.
I didn't finish, but I had my freshman year I started.
Right.
I had around 5 or 6 wins. Same with my sophomore year, and I'll never forget a quick game here I pitched against UNH. Porky Rivera was the coach. Remember him? Legend.
Legendary coach, yeah.
And I got beat 1-0.
So
I'm like, you kidding me? Here it goes again.
Right, I mean, North Haven all over.
University of New Haven, they were ranked Division II. We weren't.
Right.
The game was at their place, and I lose 1-0. And I'm like, here we go again.
Right. But, you know, now, years later, you've given back to your town.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you've been a police officer, I believe, for what, 15 years?
Just about, yeah.
Right. Just talk about being a police officer and what it's meant, because every day you're making a difference in some way.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Mike. I mean, it also started before I was a cop giving back. I coached Pop Warner.
Right.
For at least 12 years with my dad and Steve Kozarka.
And I think you coached your brother, right?
I coached my brother for 1 year. So that was most of me giving back as well. I wanted to give back to what I learned. And we were pretty successful. One of our teams made it all the way to Florida.
Right.
I want to say 2002 with Steve Kozarka. We ended up like third in the country. We lost the first game and won the second, but I just wanted to give back. Same thing as being a police officer. I'm from Derby, born and raised. I just wanted to give back. And I take it to heart, you know, when things happen in our town or try to help people. I just want to be there.
Right. And, you know, one of the things, police officers don't get enough credit because people tend to want to look at just the negatives they see out there when something's happening. But people don't realize that. Every day they go out there, and there's no guarantee they're coming home.
Absolutely, and then the perception now in our country is people don't like police officers, but they need to realize that we're not all bad.
You know,
there's like myself, everyone I work with, our department, we're there to help people.
And it's probably maybe 2%.
2%. I mean, it's a small number.
Right, and you know the other thing you've been doing as well is you've been involved a lot with your daughter's sports activities.
Yeah,
talk about what that's like for you to be able to coach your daughter and things of that nature.
That is that's truly amazing. Seeing her come along the way she has. I mean, she's involved in basketball and softball. I coached her softball team. I currently coach her basketball team now. And just to see her, I mean, she's very athletic.
Right.
I see myself in her a lot, the way that she plays. And I always...
She's very intense like you.
Yeah,
were.
She's very intense.
Yeah.
For a girl, too.
Right.
So, but I just always try to instill with her what my parents instilled in me is always play hard and try not to complain. You know, do what your coaches tell you and it will help you not only in sports but in life as well.
Right. Who are some of the people you would say influenced you a lot over your, you know, not just career, life and stuff like that? Any people that stand out to you as people that have really paved the way for you?
Well, it's, obviously starts with my parents. You know, all my coaches all through my youth years in high school, youth years, you don't really remember as much.
Right.
But high school, it's definitely Coach DeCenzo, Coach DeFrancisco, Coach Riley.
Right.
I mean, Riles was the best. I mean, always there for you.
Right.
Would always talk to you, would always give you advice, ask you how you're doing.
And he put a lot of time in because he was also an attorney, and it's not easy to juggle both.
It was always great having him around just to talk to. I mean, he just a regular conversation about anything.
Right.
I mean, just even to this day.
Right.
I see him all the time, and not as much, but always great to see him. You know, it's just that you have to have the right mindset also. I mean, people could teach you and motivate you, but you have to want to receive that too. I think that's a lot of, I think that's a problem with a lot of youth and kids today. They're just, their mind isn't really all there.
Right.
They don't realize that it's going to help them later in life as well too.
Right. What does Ben Bartone want to be doing in the next, I'll say 5 years, because 10's a little strong, so the next 5 years.
Well, want to continue to obviously, you know, work. And my main goal and concern is my daughter. You know, I want to make sure she's going in the right direction. I'll continue to coach her as much as I can and help her out in any way she and she needs.
Any chance we'll see you with a Shelton hat on someday?
Probably. Doesn't right. bother me. Doesn't
right.
bother me at all. I'm there for my daughter. Obviously, I like it to be. I would love it to be Derby, but it's just that's just how it is.
Right.
I actually got a couple of shirts now to say Shelton on them.
Wow. What do you want to be most remembered for? Whether it's in your athletic career, mm-hmm. your professional career, what do you want people to be able to say about you? You know, 20 years from now.
Just that, Mike. When I as far as sports, when I played, I gave it my all. I was always respectful. You know, always listened to my coaches and. Just give a message out there to the youth today and just, you know, it goes a long way. And as far as my career, I mean, I became a cop because I love to help people. And I've always been that way. My family brought me up that way. And I continue to do that this way, this day. As much as it's, you know, policing the way it is today, what the perception is. But I won't change.
Right.
And I'll just continue to do what I do.
And before we close, is there any one particular story that you like to share with people that they may not have known, whether it was when you were in high school playing, you know, your injury or anything like that, that they may not know that, you know, is something that, you know, has stood out over the years?
There's actually one funny one. This is the year I broke my arm, my senior year. It was before the Ansonia game. True story. My dad and I actually were going to go down to our basement and he was going to saw my cast off.
Oh, wow.
So I could play in the Ansonia game. I'm like, Dad, you sure you want to do we do this? He goes, well, how's it feel? I'm like, I don't know. Then my mother got into it, involved, and she never let it happen. So I thought that was a pretty funny story.
I wanted
to do it, but...
Right, and it sounds like...
To miss that game, you know, it was at that time in Derby sports, it was just devastating. So
right, and what do you see Derby sports today? I mean, the cross country won a state title.
Right, that was awesome,
right.
Yeah.
The wrestling team's still strong. The football mm-hmm. team hasn't been great in the last 20 years.
Right.
The baseball team's had some good years, but how do you feel about Derby sports today in general?
Well, they just got to keep, you know, I think the biggest problem, Mike, is that the town has changed so much.
Right.
You know, Derby is a town that's more of a transient city now. There's people in and out that come in our town. There's not a lot of the family-based people in our town like it was back when I was a kid.
Right.
So it's kind of hard. It's hard for these coaches today. It's hard for them to get any kind of, you know, normal things going on with these kids. Like, you know, it's either one sport here, one sport there. You don't see too many kids playing all three sports.
Right.
They just got to continue to go with it. You know, I mean, I give them a lot of credit. Like I said, it's so hard today. I mean, you know, I still support Derby sports. You know, like if it's a Friday night football game, if I'm working the job there as an officer, I go and support them. And I always want to see them do good. You know, it's just in me. You know, being from this town,
Right.
And born and raised, you always want to see your town do good.
And it had to feel good to see your cousin have the year he had last year in football, Rick Bartone. I mean,
awesome.
He was tremendous, awesome. Broke the rushing record. I mean, great kid.
Awesome. It was awesome. He was a spitting image of his dad. His
right.
dad was, I didn't get to see him. My father would tell me stories. It was a small, but it was a hell of a running back. So it was great.
You know, one last thing, because I forgot to ask you about it. Talk to me about walking on the field for that reunion of the 25th anniversary for the football team. How was that? You walked out with your daughter. Which
yeah,
had to be
that
a
was
great
a great
feeling.
That was a great moment. I'm so glad that they did that. It was great to see all the guys. I mean, coaches. Like you said, having my daughter with me was special, and also my cousin being out there on the field as well. Another Bartone,
right?
Playing, and I believe he had a great game that day, almost 200 yards rushing,
right.
against Holy Cross. So it was just an all around great day.
Right. And did your daughter, how did she feel walking out there? It had to be cool.
Yeah,
for her,
she was a little nervous at first, but, I told her, this is how it was. And she, she's 11, so she asked a lot of questions. But when I asked her if she wanted to do it, she didn't even hesitate. She's like, yeah, of course. So it was great.
Right. And that's what really makes it
absolutely
special.
Absolutely.
Ben, I'd love to keep talking. We could talk all day.
Yeah, I know.
This was a lot of fun. And I mean, you definitely are a legend in Derby sports. And I think what you do today, making a difference in lives every day mm-hmm. and helping your community, I think to me, that's what stands out even more than your athletic accomplishments. But I mean, state champion in football, state champion in basketball.
No, baseball.
Basketball, wow. Baseball, Little League champion. I'm sure I'm missing some other championships.
Yeah, it's a state championship in Mickey Mantle as well
right.
for baseball.
So, I mean, just a list of great accomplishments, mm-hmm. and it was all the hard work, and I really applaud you, and it was an honor to have you on today.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And that was Ben Bartone, former Derby football, basketball, and baseball great for Valley Sports Rewind. I'm Mike Canici saying goodbye, everyone.